Hey, Brandon, did you know that if we had a son, that I wanted to name him Lance? But Melissa said it was too common. And I told her that in medieval days, people were named Lance a lot.
Sir Lancelot. So good. Welcome. We are your hosts, Brandon and Jordan. Just two dads with similar interests.
Lots of times we feel like we are only operating with one brain between us.
This is Two Dads,
One Mind.
Welcome to episode 20. This is Brandon and Jordan back at you again with Two Dads, One Mind. We are finally here. We've been talking about episode 20 a lot and how it's going to signal kind of the end of the first chapter here at Two Dads, One Mind. And I want to go ahead and let you know we have officially decided on what we're doing. We're not going to really actually create season two per se, but we are going to kind of change up the format a little bit. And then we're going to continue with episode 21, which will be around the October 15th timeframe. We'll still try to release on Tuesday mornings to keep that all the same for you. But really, the new format for this next kind of series, I guess you would say, is going to really try to incorporate as many interviews with some other people. So Jordan and I will both be a part of most, if not all, of those interview episodes. But we just kind of want to branch out a little bit and let all you listeners hear from somebody else and, you know, get specific on some other topics. We think that might be a lot of fun. So as always, before we get going into today's actual episode, we want to remind you also that we love getting your reviews and ratings, and you can still do that on any podcast platform that you choose. However, we also are using Podchaser, and that's P-O-D-C-H-A-S-E-R. Podchaser.com for those reviews as well. It's kind of like the IMDb of podcasts. So please go there. And we also want to extend an invite for you to become a monthly supporter. We already have a couple, and we're so appreciative of you if you are supporting this podcast. And you can do that by going to twodadsonemind.com or anchor.fm/twodadsonemind and clicking on Become a Supporter, I believe it is. So now that we got that all out of the way, we're going to hop into the main topic. And the main topic of today is going to be, what is the value of having good friends? Jordan and I are going to talk about that. And we're going to come really, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a preview. We're going to come at this from kind of two angles. One is, as adults or parents, what is the importance or value of having a good friend? And then, as Jordan and I are both dads, we want to also talk about what is the importance of our kids finding good friends and having good friendships that last a long time. So I hope that you enjoy this episode, and let's go ahead and get started. All right, Jordan, we've talked about how we became friends. Just a real quick recap. We became friends when my wife and I were dating.
Right.
Right before we got married. We met you and Melissa, or I met you and Melissa. My wife was already friends with you guys a little bit.
Right.
And we've been friends for roughly
about 10
close
years.
To 10 years.
Right.
Right. That's that a little bit. We've talked a little bit more in detail in past episodes of our friendship. And that's obviously why we are doing this podcast together, because we've been friends for a while and we have similar thoughts, and some of our differences also help shape, you know, our valuable friendship. And we wanted to talk about a little bit of what is valuable about our friendship, Jordan and I. So Jordan, why don't you go ahead and start? What are some things that you value? And it's kind of maybe,
what are some things funny, you value in me?
Yeah. Is that, how is that do where you going? Value me?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Where you were going. Yeah. Well, so as far as I value our friendship a lot, and for many different reasons. Of course, I wish we were closer. We're not closer, so we don't spend as much time together in person as I would like. But Brandon and I would say, are pretty unique. We haven't ever gotten to the point that we that we want to burn the bridge and, you know, that we burn each other and we're done with that relationship because it's toxic. I know right. that we have disagreed on certain things. We get under each other's skins. And I think that's what some of your best friends, sometimes you just get under your skin. It's kind of like a brother. It's kind of like, or you know, or even your wife. You know, Melissa is my best friend. You know, we share a lot of interests, some different than what, you know, you and I share. But there are times we frustrate each other. We rile each other up. We take a breath. And being guys, let's be real. We take a breath. We look away. Just don't talk to me for 15 minutes and we'll just get over this. You know, no apology yeah. necessary. And we're done. We're done with that little tiff, if you will. But that's one thing that I value most is that the relationship, the friendship that Brandon and I have is real. And it doesn't have to be, there's no fake put-ons. If I'm tired of his crud one day, I'll let him know. I don't feel like talking to you. No, that's a joke. But there are times.
Well, it may not be said, but it's note taken kind of deal.
I mean, there are times that I even text message. Maybe I'm short. If it's a bad day, maybe I'm short on my text messages or if I'm occupied, but we get over it and we move on and we love each other, you know, past all that. And yeah, I'm not afraid to say that I love Brandon and
they can't see it, but I teared up.
That's allergies. I saw a fly in his mouth and he just kind of choked up. But all kidding aside, that's what makes a real friendship, whether it's Brandon, whether it's my wife. And that's, you know, on the other side of that, of friendships, relationships, my relationship with my wife, that's how you know what true love is. You know, you complete each other in a good way, that you build each other up and you're able to build a friendship and a relationship that is uplifting to you emotionally, spiritually, sometimes physically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. All the things that you said, I definitely agree with. You know, a couple takeaways that I have that I value out of my friendship with you, Jordan, is that, you know, I think a person can have a lot of friends, sure, but it's really difficult to have really close friends. You know, I would argue to say that you could probably only really maintain a couple, two, three at the most, you know, if you wanted my take on it, just because of the investment, you know, emotionally, in allowing yourself to be vulnerable. And that's what I think a good friendship is allowing yourself to be real enough with another person, to know the good, the bad, the ugly, and know, hey, they're going to either accept me or not. There's always that fear that, yeah, you might burn that bridge. And I think that's where Jordan and I, not to say nothing terrible couldn't ever happen, but I feel like we've crossed that bridge in a way of, we know that we're both probably going to make stupid decisions. We both know that we're going to probably make each other angry a little bit in the future or have some disagreement. But we also know that we're both forgiving guys. We can get past this and move on. But one of the things that, yeah, I do value in Jordan specifically in a friendship, that what means a lot to me that you just don't get everywhere is that ability to just be yourself. I mean, that is so understated. You know, I can be myself. I can say what's on my mind. And one big thing, and this kind of is two important things to me. One is a biblical aspect of iron sharpening iron. And, you know, with that, I love that really analogy of friends and relationships, friendships in general, is because you're both helping each other, but it doesn't happen without some effort. And sometimes heartache, sometimes sure. trouble, you know, that whole process of iron sharpening iron, it's a difficult process. It's
not even
sparks.
A kind of process. Yeah. It's not a kind right. process. It's right. literally a grading process.
Right. And so to get to the point in a friendship, and this is what I think is really valuable, to get past all the surface stuff and trying to just always be nice, you know,
put on that mask.
Yeah. It's more than that. Sometimes you have to say the hard stuff or, you know, have hard conversations. There's times, like he mentioned, where one of us is in a bad mood and you're like, what's wrong with you today, man? You know, and we both definitely have those days. And to be honest and transparent with you listeners, today is one of those days for me. I've had one of those days where everything is just not working the way it should. Mostly, you know, computer wise, my computer has crashed multiple times. Had trouble with just getting to the point of recording this podcast. And, you know, it's good to have somebody like Jordan just to joke with. So a lot of that, you know, joking, we do go camping a lot, just, yeah, spending time. And the other thing I was going to mention is super valuable is just being able to, I feel comfortable if I have something going on in my life that's personal that I need to bounce it off of, you know, whatever it is, I can go to Jordan and have complete trust that he's not going to just go tell everybody in the world. And that he's also going to take my best interests at heart. And we've had that happen before. You know, I've brought up some subject that was bothering me, and he said what needed to be said, not what I just needed to hear. Or he gave me a new perspective, you know, that really helped me, not just agreed with me. So anyway, that's something that I really value and I think is really important in friendships. All right, so the next question, which goes right into all of this, and it's not as specific to Jordan and I anymore, but for you listeners and just us in general, what is the importance and what is the value of having a friendship in general as an adult or a parent?
Well, I think, of course, it's important. There's a high value on having good friendships. And I think it's also good to follow up with what you already said, is that there are close friendships, and I mean like my wife, you and I, those are close, you know, really close friendships. Those are the core friendships. But I have really good friendships with other people, but they're not on the same level of confidentiality, of, you know, me allowing, it's not as casual. Let me put it like that. It's not to the level that I feel like I can just text you something that's on my mind that's fairly important, you know, and get that feedback. Now, I can text them about things or joke around with them, you know, any time of the day. Most of the time they respond, you know, unless they're busy. And then there's a third tier of friendships that I don't really text at all.
Right.
I'll see him at church. I'll see him at the grocery store. And hey, man, I miss seeing you. Good to see you. We need to catch up, have lunch. And then below that, there's probably a level four of acquaintances.
Right.
Like, I recognize their face, but I don't even know their name. So I'm establishing like tiers.
Tiered friendships. Right.
Tiered friendships to show the importance. Going back to that tier two, those good friendships, those are, I would say that those friendships are most of our couple friends. You know, if it's not a close friendship. Now, let me establish, Brandon and Adrian, they are our close friends. They are tier one, but with distance, you know, it we don't spend every other weekend with each other or go over to their house. But some of our tier two friends, they are almost to that tier one. You know, we are totally confident going over to their house, just dropping in on them, hanging out for the afternoon, going to dinner. If something came up and, you know, we needed them to watch the girls, we wouldn't have an issue calling them and saying, hey, can we drop the girls off for a couple hours? We've got this thing that, you know, has happened. So we trust them entirely. But I say all that to say, not only are they good at just in our lives and they help build us up and they help support us, we do the same for them on, again, an emotional basis, a physical basis, a spiritual basis. Because a lot of those tier two friends, if you will, are the same ones that we go to Sunday school with. We go to marriage nights with. You know, we go on double dates with them. And they help build us up. And it's just...
Absolutely. Right.
You know, it encourages us. emotionally. You know, we have a good time with them. We can laugh with them. So it is highly important. But the last thing, I mean, I want to say here, along with your, you know, what you've already said, is that friendships, and this is something Melissa has done a good job sometimes talking me through, is that friendships, they come in seasons. Sometimes that season is for life. Sometimes it's for a few years, and sometimes it's just a couple months. You know, and I've had friends, I guess at that time they were friends, that, you know, I was friends really close with them. And it totally, you know, has, you know, absolved. It's absolved. That's not probably not the right word. Dissolved.
Right.
So it has dissolved. However, you know, Brandon and I are on that friendship level that I feel like it's a lifelong friend, you know, because we've already passed through this, you know, this move. I mean, it's been 5 years since I've lived in Oklahoma. And I feel like our friendships, maybe, at least Brandon and I specifically,
it's continued to grow.
Has grown. It's, we've gotten closer because I think we've both put out the effort to talk and to, well, honestly, play video games and then also go camping. Now, we were spending a couple weekends every month together, but it was more surface than it is now. So we,
yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
We cherish that time more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and a couple of things with this on the importance of just good friendships as adults and parents, and not to go to any kind of like to be a Debbie Downer, but you know, I think that a lot of us out there can probably think back to a friendship that we had in the past that we were really fond of, and like you mentioned, may have dissolved. I know that happened to me, very unfortunately, and it rocked me, and so I wasn't even planning on talking about this actually when we were discussing what we would talk about on this episode, but I had a best friend actually from fifth grade on until I believe I was, well, we were in college when our friendship kind of dissolved quite abruptly, and it was really confusing at why, and still don't have all those answers, but we were best friends for, you know, age 11 to I think it was 26 or so. So
a good long time.
Yeah, over 15 years to the point where we were like brothers. And, you know, I know from my side of it, when our friendship ended and I realized it really was over and I didn't have the answers to why, it was a wound that I hadn't experienced. You know, I had lost a lot of family members, either, you know, to death or just, you know, disagreements. I'd seen that happen, you know, just like in family. But when you lose like a best friend like that, man, it can rock your world. So I know for myself, and this is kind of, like I said, a kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail. But, you know, for me, for a while, I kind of put up this wall of allowing myself to really get real close and have a close friend like that I would call a best friend again, to be honest. It took a few years, and then obviously Jordan has filled that as far as that role of being my closest friend. And like you were saying, Jordan, I do have close friends. I have a friend that will actually be interviewing later in this next series. His name is Matt Wheeler, and we'll be talking with him about an interesting topic. I don't want to speak too much about that.
Don't spoil it.
I know.
But maybe just a little tease. Maybe a little tease.
Maybe just a little tease, yeah. he is actually a pastor now, and it's really cool to just see how his life has gone, because we actually went to school together pretty much all our lives, but we really started becoming friends in high school, and we went to college together. One of my closest friends as well. And so I have a few of those guys, and with us, and I think he would say the same, and we'll talk about that, but our friendship has gone through seasons as well, getting married, having kids. Obviously, he's pastoring a church, and he's just a busy guy, and I'm a busy guy. We go our different ways, but we can also, he's that kind of friend too, where we might not talk like Jordan and I do as often, you know, multiple times a week anymore, but when we do sit down together and have lunch to catch up, we can catch up really quickly. And he is a lifelong friend. I don't see why we wouldn't be friends for life as well. But anyway, I definitely agree with that. But to get really to the my answer of why or how important or valuable friends are in general as an adult or parent, and it's this, that yes, I consider my wife to be one of my friends. I mean, you know, you'd hope so, right?
I would hope so.
Right, to confide in, but it's difficult. And I would almost even say a form of not being a healthy thing to not have any friends outside of that, because you're always going to have issues that arise that you're probably going to need someone to talk to. I mean, yes, you could go, you know, through mediation or counseling, or if you, you know, go to church, talk to a pastor or a leader. I think you also need a friend that you can trust, even if there's something that's maybe between you and your wife that, you know, for me, it's something I would first pray about. But if I felt it was something that, you know, maybe my thinking on whatever this issue is, I think we need friends to help us through our marriage. We need, you know, couple friends, like you were mentioning. I think it's really important just to have a support group or network around us. I have a couple of guys that, you know, Jordan, you haven't actually met, but we've talked about, that I go to church with, that are part of a circle group. Two guys that, kind of like you were saying, it was kind of a season over the past couple of years where we've got to know each other, and we're at that kind of second tier in a way as well.
Right.
And very close to that first tier, like you were mentioning, where we know we got each other's backs. We support each other.
Tier 1.5.
Yeah. Yeah, right there, real close, because, yeah, we call each other family as well, because they could ask for anything, just like Jordan could ask for anything, and not a lot of questions, if any. We would just make that happen, whatever they needed, that kind of closeness. And that's where I will say, though, that's kind of the extent, and why I say kind of two or three, because I feel like that I can only give so much attention, and I think this is true for most people. I can only give so much attention and effort to about two or three real, you know, as far as friends, I can really give my full attention to. And I think that changes a little bit, but anyway, I'm interested in what you listeners might have to think, and hopefully you're kind of thinking through this. In your mind, just imagine, I mean, who is that person that you would consider your closest friend, your best friend? And I would also challenge you, before we go on to the next question, that once you got that person, that name in your head, to really like cherish that, because like I mentioned earlier, you know, nothing is guaranteed, and don't take your friendships for granted.
And let them know that how much you appreciate, well, your relationship with them and how much you appreciate them.
Yeah. And then on the other side, like I would challenge you, if you've been friends with somebody for a long time, to not get too comfortable in that friendship. If you want that to grow, challenge that. I think part of really having a healthy friendship is actually challenging each other to be better people, not knocking each other down, but to push each other, to help pull each other up. So do whatever you have to do to invest in that, in becoming better people together as friends. And here's the hard part, and this is where I'm going to kind of segue into the next part that will, I know we're going to touch on this as well, but if you are have a friend or in a friendship kind of relationship that it is toxic and it's just pulling you down, sometimes we do have to make that tough call. And I've been there where we got to cut that. And that's a hard thing to do. We got to cut ties with that. And that's what kind of leads me to this next question in a roundabout way, is how important is it that our children find good friends, lifelong friends, and what kind of values do we teach them to look for in friendships? And I know one thing that's going to be hard too is we're probably going to have to explain to them and have some hard talks too on why this friend isn't a good friend for you. So Jordan, what is it that you hope to teach your kids about friends and the values and teaching them the importance of good ones?
Well, I know right now it's hard to distinguish with my girls being their age, first in kindergarten right now. It's, you know, they come home, I ask them how their day is, and everything, whenever it involves another student in their class, it's always my friend, fill in name, or my friend, whoever. It's always everybody is a friend to them. And mm-hmm. I think that's just, I mean, that is just the good nature of kids, first of all.
I was going to say, I think that as a good thing. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I do. Yeah. But I don't know that it's all kids. Now, granted, I'm only around so many kids, you know, and that's, it's either going back, it's either, you know, friends from church or, you know, couple friends that we have, probably also from church. So I'm not around kids, you know, that are just students in their class. So I don't know if that is a, you know, for all kids that they all kind of talk that way and have that investment, you know, already kind of in their mind that, oh, this is my friend Jax or my friend whoever. I don't know. That being said, I know that, first of all, it's good that they have that open mind. And I think that open mind, a lot of kids have, but not all of them. I think there are a lot of kids out there that are already starting to become closed-minded just from their environment. So at some point, I know that it's going to come up that we're going to have this discussion of, no, you really can't go over to their house and have a play date. I really don't know their parents very well. So maybe we can invite them over here for a play date. And that does two things. It keeps it on my terms, our, you know, parental terms. It's so that I can be a little more aware of what's going on, kind of watch. I can meet the parents a little bit better on, again, my terms. So, and I'm sure you agree with all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know sure. Melissa and I have talked about, we've talked about the sleepover thing. We're not all about it yet. I don't know that we're going to do sleepovers. We may do sleepovers at our house. So again, and that just kind of goes hand in hand with the friendships. At some point when they get older, I know that, you know, again, as they get older, switching more to coaching, we're going to have that conversation of not only do I want the play date to be over here, and I'm talking leading in a kind of teenage years, I really don't want you spending a whole lot of time around them unless you're in a group. Whatever that reason is, you know, maybe I feel like their attitude changes or they're just a negative influence. Maybe it's what, you know, there's a plethora of reasons.
Right.
But I know at some point I'm going to have to invest in conversations and hopefully they see, and I think a lot of it is them also observing us, Brandon and I, and any other parents out there. They have to see us and the relationships and the people we put around us that we're allowed to A, be ourselves, and you know, they bring us up and they cheer us up and all of these good emotions, as opposed to, you know, someone that, and I'm not saying there's not time for those, you know, those conversations that, you know, with a close friend that may be more emotional. Because as we all know, we have those venting sessions. We have those tough conversations that we have to have, but it's not, you know, it's not a majority of the time. So I think a lot of it is our children watching us, observing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my kids are the same age, so there's a lot to learn and a lot of things are going to change with that. And I agree. I hear that a lot, especially with my five-year-old. And, well, I mean, both my boys, my 5 and 7-year-old, refer to just about everybody as friends. And just on that point, I do think that's good. You know, I think that childlike mentality is something that we all need a little bit more of, honestly, that openness, that blindness to differences, you know, I mean, and not to go here, but really, I mean, it's just true. Like, we're not talking about color or race or beliefs really yet. We're just like, they're nice to me. They're my friend, you know?
Right.
It's just very innocent. And I like that. And I think we all could learn from that.
They're especially friends when they have birthdays and everybody gets cupcakes.
Right.
If you haven't noticed that.
He's my best friend. He gave me the best toy.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I know my 7-year-old has a best friend that, and it's, I think most of it, now he is a really good kid. I will say this kid is a really good kid, and I hope that their friendship continues to grow. But it was more out of just, they've been friends the longest. They had a really cool deal where they became friends because they went to the same little daycare all the way into school. Now they go to the same school again in a different city. Kind of a crazy, crazy deal. So I hope that they are end up being best friends and they pull each other up. But I do know, and this kind of goes to fast forward to what I know about, well, one, personal experience, but also as a youth pastor for 5 years where I served as a youth pastor, I saw this all the time with teenagers, you know, having issues with friends, very emotional, a lot of drama, best friends 1 week and not friends the next, especially in middle school and then in high school.
And boys and relationships getting involved. Oh my.
Yes. And man, just from the outside looking in, you can see how toxic some of those friendships and relationships are. And you just kind of want to be like, hit them over the head with a pan and be like, dong, hey, look, this friendship is doing no good for you. It's so one-sided. And so I hope to teach my boys that friendship is about, you know, giving, not just taking on either side, not taking advantage, and really just give them, you know, the value of what we've talked about. It's being real. And if it doesn't lead somewhere to making you a better person, trying to help you see maybe the flaws that you need to correct, which, you know, those are hard conversations, but if they're just trying to puff themselves up or tear you down, that's not a friendship. And that's hard to see, especially as a kid. And it's hard to see even as an adult, especially if you're just really invested in this person. You really just like them or want to be liked by them and just feel like you're being used at the end of the day. But one thing I think we've both, I won't say really danced around, but we just haven't straight out said, is that I want my kids, and I know you feel the same way, to specifically find friends with Christian values.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Preferably Christian families too.
Right. You know, and that just comes from, you know, this like-minded, you know, again, to kind of give all of our listeners to kind of repeat again, like what we talked about maybe in episode one in the trailer of this whole podcast on why we came up with the name Two Dads, One Mind is because we do share a lot of the same kind of thinking. A lot of that is our beliefs too. So anyway, I think it's so important that we all have good friendships from youngest to oldest. I think if, you know, some of you listeners that have some more years on us, even we can learn a lot from you. And I think that if you look back on your closest friends or friends that you've had for a long time, I think you would agree on why they are your friends now. And it's not those surface things. It's those things like trust. It's loyalty. It's helping you to be a better person. I hope that that's the case. So anyway, Jordan, do you have any other kind of final thoughts before we go into our salute? And this will be the, at least for a while, one of the last official salutes that we're going to do as we're going to change formats in episode 20. But Jordan, do you have any other kind of follow-ups?
I do. You know, that innocent childhood in school being, well, in general, but in school with everybody being friends, I think one of the important things that I want the girls to learn is that just because you are in proximity of someone all the time, especially as they get older, middle school, high school, doesn't mean you have to be their friend. Now, granted, it's good now, but on the other side of that, you don't have to be their friend and they don't have to be your friend. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is with all relationships, and this is one thing Brandon kind of zoned in on, is that if your cup, spiritual, emotional, isn't full, you can't pour from it. So you mm-hmm. can't give to your friends what you don't have. And so as he was talking about with being a youth pastor and seeing these relationships that are one-sided, you know, and or you know, it's a relationship that, hey, look who's my friend, and you have this pride issue, that friend is not filling up your cup, and you're not filling, all you're doing is pouring out into them. And at some point, the cup goes dry, and you have to realize that that's not healthy. So that's one thing I really want to instill in the girls at some point. I know today's not the day, next week's not the week, but at some point, that it's going to have to be a learned experience. Hopefully, it's not an emotional experience, but I know that even with me, understanding that some friends, And I wasn't obviously as a kid, wasn't able to put these words to it, but it's just not a good friendship. The way they treat me is not good, and it's not the same way I treat them. And it's better if that bridge is burned and you move on. But it's hard to see that, especially at, you know, a younger age, but also when you are on the bridge you can't see that. Even as adults, sometimes you get tunnel vision on the bridge. And
Or maybe it's a fear of, well, I don't have time to make new friends.
Right.
You know, no, that happens a lot.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I want to end the episode before we get to the salute, which is, you know, make sure that the friends you have know that they are valued. And, you know, also take a good hard look at the friends that you have, the people you're surrounding yourself with. And hopefully that's a healthy thing. Hopefully those friendships are great. So we hope you enjoy the episode. And before we go any further, we want to do again one of our last salutes to a dad of the week. And Jordan, go ahead and take off with that, sir.
This is our salute to dads.
This week, we're saluting Mr. Patrick Hampton. Mr. Hampton wrote an outstanding open letter to LeBron James in disagreement of the comments made by James on August 25th regarding Black Americans being afraid of police officers. In his letter, Mr. Hampton informs James to please don't speak for me and my boys. Me and my boys are not terrified of the police because we respect the police and accept their authority. Mr. Hampton is married and the father of four boys and records weekly for his show, The Patrick Perspective. He expresses his passion for God and patriotism through his role as Vice President of Communications and Community Engagement for the nonprofit organization Hamilton Flourishing, and writes a weekly column on the Patriot Post. Mr. Hampton, thank you for your outspoken letter. Thank you for what you're doing for men everywhere, your family, the Black community, and our hats are off to you.
This is our salute to dads.
Awesome. Thank you, Jordan, for that. And yeah, it's so important to just stand up in general. And so appreciate that he's doing that and he has a different perspective. That's good to share. So appreciate you, Patrick, for doing that and standing up. And, so before we close the episode, like I said, this is episode 20 where we're going to take a break. We want to prepare you for that just to make sure that you know we're going to take a break for roughly 4 weeks, and then we're going to come out with episode 21, and we're going to have kind of a different format. But before we get any further, we want to say thank you so much. We hope that you don't fall off here and that you are still waiting and subscribed. And if you're not subscribed and you're just listening now, please subscribe because we are not ending. We are just taking a little bit of a break to get you some more valuable content and kind of restructure a little bit. So we appreciate all of you listeners for all your reviews and ratings and continue to send those in.
And we are so excited about this next season, if you will, of episodes that's going to be after the break. We're so excited to come back with new content, new interviews. We're not changing a whole lot, but we are excited to bring you new stuff for you to listen to on your trip, on your drive, and just spend a little time with us while we talk and flesh things out.
Well, you guys have a great week, and we will see you again soon. This is Two Dads,
One Mind.